welcome to the lounge review of the year on this New Year's Eve. Hello there, Steve.
Hello there, Nick. How are you doing? Welcome to the Type 1 Radio Lounge News Bong, final one of the year, as Nick said, review. We're going to try and make, I don't know if we're trying to make sense of it, we're just going to sort of bring up quite a lot of issues that happened this year, and there's been quite a few, both politically, entertainment-wise, and just it's just been basically a hell of a year.
I think a car crash.
A car crash. Or a roller coaster ride that sort of went off the rails a bit.
Did that Alton Towers thing happen
this year with that poor young lady lost her one of her limbs? Guess is that this year? I mean, as much as I mean, forgive us if we go off track a little bit on account of how weird and how wacky and how mental this year has been, and I don't know if I'd dare to say that we've been on the end of a few sort of things that have been quite encouraging, really, like Brexit and Trump's victory in the US elections did have a slight sort of flavour of people ignoring the mainstream media. People having a flagrant disregard for what they've been told by the you know, the mainstream lot. And I've been having many conversations because it's quite a varied sort of box. You kind of realise when things like this happen that you have, you know, everyone's got an opinion on everything sort of thing, and you can't really tell if people are really have the same ideas as you do when they kind of sort of bring up weird things like, well, we're going to be, you know, really bad. We're really bad off without the EU. And you're thinking, well, what the fuck has the EU done for you? And you, when you ask them this question, and they kind of stop on the tracks and actually think, well, I don't know. But it's because they were told, you know, in both cases, both the Trump and the Brexit votes were, or campaigns were both run on pure hatred, weren't they?
Yeah.
It wasn't a case of, well, this is what's going to happen if we stay, and this is what's going to happen if we leave, and this is what could happen if we stay, and this is what could happen if we leave. It was a, oh my God, you can't fucking think like that. You know, either way, it was a kind of a test of your resolve, basically, on, you know, just how much abuse you can take for having a point of view on something. And when it actually came in on the side that I personally wanted it to come down on, and the way it was just dealt with by the public in general was like, well, when fucking Thatcher got voted in, I didn't go crazy, you know, causing riots, or, you know, even, I just had to accept, because that's what democracy is. It's a popular vote, it's a vote of the people, and whatever the people decide, then that's it. You fucking go with it. You don't start talking about you know, legal loopholes and way outs of things and stuff like that. And that's kind of what brought that debate to the front, was the fact that it wasn't, you know, it was an unpopular vote for supposedly the masses, but, you know.
So then, how do you think that the plans for the EU army, which is still going ahead, as we speak, and having its headquarters in Britain, do you think they were obviously before the referendum, you know, they were planned before the referendum, and they just weren't expecting that
they never expected to leave vote to win. They obviously
do you think that they've had the contingency plans for each way?
I'm not sure, because I have actually known for a while that the EU army has been in place for years.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show at all, but back in my techno days, I mixed with what can only be described as the Illuminati's sprog off, you know, offspring. I've met a lot of Eton Old Etonians who, you know, would rather drop acid and fucking get smashed out their skulls than doing, because they don't have to. They have to work. I have actually met David Cameron's little sister. I used to hang out with her, and she married a really good friend of mine who is another sort of Etonian who never had to do, but he's basically got a public relation, a PR company, which deals with the government now because he's married to Cameron's little sister. But his father, interestingly enough, was commander-in-chief of an EU army, which, you know, because he's from military background sort of thing, and he actually said, and because we laugh, because I don't see these people anymore, they're no longer part of my life sort of thing, but you can look up the Mail online and you'll find these people in there. You know, I've told you many times, Nick, about people who are so part of it. And this one guy was, when it was announced he was engaged to Cameron's sister, the picture they printed of him was in his dad's Sandringham uniform. And his dad was a retired colonel general or something. I won't say his name because he's, you know, it's probably a bit inappropriate to do that. But his father was part of an EU army, which Fi and I were like, well, I've never heard of an EU army, have you? And, you know, being, I mean, this guy has got a caricature posh name. Like I say, I won't. But it's sort of Farquhar de Bois, sort of, you know, type name sort of thing.
And it's quite easy to deduce who that is, considering who you said that he's married to.
God. Sorry, Nick, can you say that again?
I said it might be easy to deduce who it is, as you said, who he's married to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it's out of the Bible. Like, but yeah, I mean, he was a part of the an EU army task, you know, force southern. That's gone back 5-6 years.
And so now, don't you think that it is very fitting, in that respect, that the job that's been lined up for Cameron next? Have you heard this?
No, I haven't. I did see it, but I didn't click on it, so I couldn't.
He's being championed to be head of NATO.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So what, he's taken over from the other little... he was... Because we already had what was his name? It was a Labour guy.
George Robertson.
George Robertson.
Was it George?
It was George Robertson, yeah. Little sort of red-faced guy.
Yeah, who was big mates with Thomas Hamilton and signed to give him his shotgun license, and had something to do with the 100-year seal on. So sideline him. Into that NATO job.
Yeah, he's not.
I don't think he's there now, though.
He's not there now, no. No, he's not. But, so Cameron is stepping up to that post, is he? That's interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I did see that story, but I didn't click on it, like I said. I didn't, you know, I can't be bothered with what Cameron's going to be up to next.
You don't really care what pig fuckers do.
No. We were watching an old UK column there, and there was something about what Cameron was going to, how he was going to get paid for something done, and Brian Gerry said perhaps he's going to get paid in bacon. Which was quite amusing, I think. What happened? In... Go on.
You go.
No, I'm flummoxed.
Okay, well, let's start at the very beginning, as Mary Poppins likes to say. Or is it? Mm-hmm. Or no? Or the Julie Andrews movie? Sound of Music. January. We had the first of the big deaths.
The Bowie death was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the way it was almost like he'd planned it to perfection
he kind of knew it was coming, and he knew his little he planned his sort of sorry, we're just switching positions here. Yeah, he kind of knew it was coming, sort of thing, because it was that guy who he was doing the Lazarus sort of musical with. He said, "Oh, I'm not gonna be making the premiere, sort of thing, because I'm not gonna be with you." And that was the first guy he told him, that was, I believe, in October time. So he knew he was on his way out by then.
Mm.
And he rush released his because he'd recorded two albums, hadn't he?
And is there still one to come out then?
I don't know. I haven't really, like I say, like, it was weird because I think I said this on the show you and I did about the Bowie sort of incident, and it was, I'd watched the Dark Star video the night before it was announced he died, and I turned it off because it was just too macabre and too sort of like, so there was something not quite right about it, and it was obviously, you know, that's what wasn't quite right about it. It was the dying pangs of a sort of a guy who lived his life in the public.
Yeah.
And he was sort of going out, sort of thing. I've actually had that album a couple of times since, because it was on Six Music's second album of the year, sort of thing. And when they do that, they play more or less all of the tracks from it, sort of thing, throughout the day. And it was some good stuff on there. So, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was very contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've not been a Bowie. My Bowie fan stuff ends at sort of Let's Dance, which I don't really like that much. But certainly, Scary Monsters and Super Creeps is the sort of last Bowie stuff that I still listen to, and I haven't really gone for a lot of his stuff from like 81 onwards, sort of thing. But yeah, maybe I'll listen to that at some stage. It's always sort of, you know, coming in and out of artists, sort of like there's always something new to listen to if you don't listen to it all. You know what I mean? But perhaps there's something there to enjoy later on when I feel like I need a new Bowie sort of moment. But I'm quite happy with what he'd done from 1970 to 1990, or 1980 rather. So that's all. So what else happened in Janeiro then?
I don't know. Alan Rickman died. When was the Nice attack? Wasn't that around the start of the year?
Nice was in the summer.
When was like you say, there's been so much going on, and I think. Pretty much Bowie overshadowed quite a lot of the news for the next few weeks.
Sort of, certainly was a biggie for that one, for when that all came about. oh God, what else happened in Giant? Something else happened. It was quite mad, isn't it? Sorry, folks, this should have been prepared a lot better. we've actually just had a bit of bad news come our way. It's taken us a bit off guard. as a lot of things I've done this year. Not really for public consumption or personal tragedy to stick off with the news of. But
So let's just have a look here. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay. You got any tunes now? You got any Bowie tunes?
Just a minute.
So yeah, there was a double bombing in the. Well, I guess one of the sort of the other maddest things that was happening was the abuse into historical child abuse. Saw another was it Judge Goddard was her name? She suddenly, after taking what was it, a sort of couple hundred grand a day for doing absolutely jack shit, and she was never. The correct person to sort of bring into that, be brought into that position, but as were the others who preceded her, they didn't last very long on account of you know, their shady past and their links to the sort of actual perpetrators of said abuse. And then this other woman was just brought in as a just another in line in the good old UK column who we've championed throughout the year, and we'll continue to do so because they do such an amazing job. We're just, you know, putting up, just, you know, is this inquiry actually real, or are they just doing it as a sort of cover to sort of kid on that the establishment are actually doing something when they're actually not doing nothing about it? They're just protecting their friends. So and that, and I don't even think that...
The whole thing as well has been kind of... bit of a smoke screen, isn't it, to avoid investigating MPs. They're investigating
I mean that's a recent thing that came up a couple of weeks ago, that the there was abuse in sport. And now another person who we champion quite a lot is Mr. Rich D. Hall over at richplanet.com has had a guy who's been on the lounge a good few times, Neil Sanders. They actually brought this up 4 years ago. It was abuse in sport, abuse in young lads up in the Crewe area, most notably of Crewe Alexandra, one of the soccer teams in the North of England. And, you know, all this was sort of 40 years ago and nothing done about it. And then suddenly it's sort of a big shock horror sort of story that's been sort of brought to light and...
By the
again,
BBC.
It's just a circus. When you look under the stuff as well, these things, it just really is. You can see exactly what they're up to. And the,
yeah, brought up by the BBC.
The little scheme. The leaders of the fake news empire. Because, you know, another thing that happened this year was the Hillsborough disaster.
The inquiry
was brought to a head, and basically the BBC said publicly that the story that was told by us and other media was not the truth. So they actually admitted they were, you know, that they don't always tell the truth, but they didn't actually say how frequently they do this, which is pretty much all the time. You know, believe nothing what you see.
So
you're back, Nick.
Yeah, I'm back. And in January the 16th, there was a landmark Iranian nuclear deal going into effect. Iran sanctions by the US lifted. So the sanctions against Iran by the US and European nations were lifted. So that was fairly significant in that the sort of onus was taken off them, and then to be focused onto Syria. Because even though the conflict in Syria has been going on for 5 years, the emphasis has been really focused this year in particular. Whether or not that has been because of the evidence suggesting that the Western governments have been covertly funding all the intents and purposes of terrorists in their war on terror. Go figure that one out.
I know. It's just
so
beggars belief, isn't it?
Yeah. And to put the focus back on Russia as the boogeyman, which the way that this year has progressed, the Western media has been goading and making shit up about Russia.
I mean, what was that story about the warship sailing into, our warship sailing into, or America's warship sailing into Syrian waters and then having to turn back because the Russians basically had a technology that meant they could just shut down all the fucking electronics that were on that ship?
Yeah.
Remember Swami going on about that?
Yeah.
And so that was pretty much the beginning of this year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a, like a no-go area for any kind of Russian sort of fighting whatsoever, because they just wouldn't win because they would just turn them off. So
so that's something like some sort of focused EMP device, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, our study of Dr. Judy Woods, we know that there's some possibility of some kind of weapon that can do such a thing.
Yeah.
Or indeed, just wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, with the directed energy evidence, the active denial systems, and any combination of the two.
Yeah.
Possibilities. Well, we know that.
We do know that some kind of nuclear either fusion or otherwise can sort of just electronics to the state where they're just rendered useless anyway, sort of thing. So you would have a destroyer floating in the water doing nothing, full of souls that you had to get them out of there pretty swiftly. So the Americans very wisely turned on their tails and left. But, you know, it didn't make the situation in Syria go away. So the propaganda machines were sort of put in full force, weren't they?
Yeah.
And as we sort of know, there was this organization called the White Helmets that suddenly came out of nowhere that were, could it be the total Hegelian dialect where you just cause a problem and then go and clean it up yourself, sort of thing? Is that what that was all about?
And part of me thinks that Joe Cox's death had got something to do with her affiliation with the White Helmets rather than this nutter dude who the Satan killed her. I mean, he could very well have killed her, but for in a very different type of scenario, it could have well been triggered.
I mean, that whole Joe Cox thing has just got so many tentacles to it, isn't it? I mean, why is it both affiliated with the Brexit thing and the White Helmets? You know, it's like a win-win situation for those fuckers, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all the money that was raised is now, is, has it gone to the White Helmets? Do we know that for sure? Or is it part of the money raised? Or
I think part of it.
Because the husband made it clear. Yeah, well, it's, the husband's made it clear that he doesn't want it, doesn't he?
It's it says so on the Joe Cox Fund GoFundMe page that some of it is going towards the White Helmets, because I was having a Facebook chat and this subject reared its head, and I presented the information about Joe Cox and her involvement in the White Helmets, and everyone was like, "What? What's going on there?" And then that I just, you know, found, you know, the information's there. The on that web page it says some of it's going towards the White Helmets. So
Have we got any evidence that she was involved with them before her death? Is she said anything publicly about?
She's the one that sent the Nobel Committee to nominate them.
Really? Fucking hell. Now, is that from before was she newly elected in the last election?
Yeah,
or has she been there for a while?
No, she'd only got there last year.
She only got there last year, so she's not been in the public eye that long before she was killed.
No, but she'd been working with NGOs. You know, that's a whole rabbit hole to go down, isn't it?
Well, I mean, well, there's a whole thing that Bajic sort of brought up at the time. Yeah, there was a whole thing that Vajek brought up at the time, to me personally, I don't think we brought up on a show or anything like that, but she was for ages the woman in red, and she was always, like, you know, appearing at sort of weird stages, always dressed. I mean, I know she was Labour and all that sort of thing, so that can be put in that, but we all know the sort of
Matrix
Hour of Babylon sort of scenario going on there, sort of thing, and then she ends up being martyred for some bizarre reason, and, you know, it's, like I said earlier, a double-edged sword, that she was supposedly killed for her involvement in wanting to leave the EU by some, you know, not a fascist guy who wants, you know, to give the sort of the Leave campaign a bad name, and then to be involved with this White Helmet organization, which we have pretty conclusive proof is, you know, a very dodgy organization.
Set up by a mercenary,
and doing, you know,
that gets 23 million funding from the UK aid, you know, UK government aid.
Boris standing out those shekels. It really is just part of the 2016 sort of madness, isn't it?
As the years progress, it does, the more through the looking glass we've got, just the opposites of all the Trump cards have toppled everything, haven't they? And Trump being the ultimate Trump card there.
I mean that was, I don't know if it's too early in the show to sort of go into all the Trump stuff, but it's like it's a total it's just total madness, isn't it? It's just like how can that have happened?
But because Hillary was,
it happened because yeah, it happened because there was no serious opposition.
Yeah, it happened because the simple fact that Hillary Clinton would seem the only other option, so folks decided to go with someone that didn't have the track record of Hillary Clinton.
Because, you know,
they'd rather go for the unknown, even though he's very known.
Very known, yeah.
But he is. Maybe he's here's what Rumsfeld was going on about when he was, you know, when he was going on the known unknowns and the known unknowns. Maybe that's what Trump is. He's like the unknown known unknown.
Oh, wow. I think we're going to get disclosure from Donald then. Think once he gets his once he gets his eye on that stuff, do you reckon he's going to go, oh, fucking shit? Probably not. Because there's going to be enough turmoil without all that sort of doo-doo hitting the fan sort of thing. So, just on a sort of note, have you seen these things that have been doing around, and Thomas Sheridan's certainly part of the one spreading this one, that the Queenie's actually dead?
Yeah, and,
just wait. They're waiting for the year to get out.
I mean, she might just have a bad cold, like they say, but yeah, why postpone that?
Yeah. Just on a sort of
what would
bit of a tempo.
Yeah, what would the motive behind
keeping it quiet be, yeah, I know, yeah.
Because surely Charlie would be like, fucking A. Come on, fans.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get
yeah.
to the palace.
Let's have a coronation. What is, do you know the protocol on that? Does it have to, does she have to lay in state for a year or something like that before they actually have a coronation and get a new sort of monarch on the go?
I don't know. Her dad died in 1952. She was coronated in 1953. So I don't know. It's been that long since anybody's looked at
not in our lifetime, then, has that ever happened, sort of thing. I remember talking to Fychek's mother about it, and she was saying, like, they, you know, they didn't have a telly in those days because TV was only brought in hurriedly for the Queen's coronation. She basically said, like, you know, you didn't, for about a month, you couldn't turn the radio on without fucking this macabre funeral music being on the radio all the time, sort of thing. And it was just like, you know, the every break in this really horrible music was just to remind you that the king had died, and, you know, that we were all in a state of mourning. So God knows what it's going to be like when Queenie goes, because it's just going to be, you know, the amount of saturation that we have in media now is just going to be unbearable.
Well, just look at what it was like pre-internet Diana.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't that, well, I don't know. I was pretty still much in my techno days then, sort of thing, and I didn't really, I mean, I've never really been a mad watcher of the news, to be honest, sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't, yeah, you're right, you couldn't turn the radio on or the TV on without some sort of, you know, Diana's death. And I did actually go with, there was a little Australian guy, because we just opened a studio back in those days, and I went with him down to Kensington Gardens, and I just remember the stench of the flowers, because it'd been like a couple of weeks, and, you know, all these people were leaving flowers, because it happened in September, didn't it?
End of August,
beginning of September, and we went down like a couple of weeks after that, and the smell was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, somebody clean them flowers up before they go even more rotten. So yeah, so if Queenie's on her way out, then we're in for a bit horrific sort of mourning type. But yeah, I think it would have been announced if she'd died already.
Yeah.
But it was funny because, what's her name? Zara Phillips and Mike Tyndall had announced they were pregnant. Do you remember that? About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they miscarried.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I wonder if they've dug that fetus out to try and fucking feed it to Queenie to sort of keep her alive. But that's a bit of a tinfoil hat sort of statement there. Make of it what you will.
Anybody losing a baby,
though. Well, anyone losing a baby is never good, but yeah. Coincidence? You never know. And she didn't actually appear at Sandringham this year, did she?
No, and she's not gone to the New Year or New Year's Eve today, so she's not been sighted for a week.
Right. So, well, that's obvious she's dead then, isn't it?
But, I mean, weren't they saying that this same, because nobody had seen them, that Julie Solange is dead as well? So, maybe that those little silver hats are a little bit too tight at the moment.
Okay. bit of a slow to roll hat news week. But, what else was I going to say about stuff like that? Yeah. it's a laugh, isn't it? God bless you, ma'am. You know, what are we going to do? What is Charles going to do? Because he's fucking giving it large about, you know, how he's a bit taken aback by all this religious hatred that's going around. I mean, have you noticed any religious hatred? Like, other than people don't like Muslims because they fucking brought the towers down, or like Jews because they fucking run the media and all the rest of it. It's just the usual sort of hatred. It's not out of the ordinary, is it? Charles just happens to speak.
And it's all pretty much fake news. All those stuff. The people I come across in my life, regardless of their race or religion, appear to be quite nice.
I will categorically state here on the record that I, Steve Gaddafi, have the best people this year have been Muslims. Pakistani Muslims at that sort of thing, and they've been the kindest, most generous people I've met in a long time since meeting your good self, Nick. You know, they're just nice people. They're just not, you know, fucking hell. Now, I did work with a couple of Muslim guys a couple of years ago, a couple of Turkish guys, and I asked them about what they thought about 9/11 and all the rest of it, and they just laughed. They went, "Nah, nothing to do with us, mate." You know, the category stated that, you know, these people weren't Muslims that were, you know, that were doing stuff like that. That's not really, well, they are, you know, they didn't know these types of people that would do stuff like that, and they don't know people who carry out fatwas and all the rest of it sort of thing. That's just not part of their day-to-day sort of life of reading. It's not in their Quran. It's not in their version of it sort of thing. So you're right, it's just the day-to-day people you meet aren't, you know, i.e. Allah, the friendship agenda.
Yes.
Which is where we all came from, you know. We all basically get on. Because, you know, it's just this horrible little square thing that sits in the corner of everyone's room that just tells you what to do. So stop believing it. Get out and live a bit.
But even when people are presented with an alternative little box, usually mobile little box, they're still not in, or maybe I'll rephrase this: the media has not given the public enough credit on their intelligence. So try to pump just banal, what goes as entertainment, and faux news, you know, state-sponsored news. I've been hearing, like, how RT are like, supposed to be state sponsored, when isn't that what BBC is?
Yeah. I know. It's just like, fuck's sakes. Yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying all these quite funny memes, like with the burnt toast and all that, and people say the Russians did it, and the dogs ripping up the sofa and all the rest of it sort of things, and it was the Russians did it. Well, you know, fucking hell. The BBC did it. They told, like, more fake news than anyone sort of thing, you know, and that is I mean, it's bailed state sponsored, isn't it? Because supposedly we pay for it, we the people, in our license fee, which, you know, is the biggest farce in the fucking world.
The tax
to watch propaganda, you know, having to pay to be fed shit. It's like, how does the old saying go? People tell you it's raining when they're pissing on you.
Yeah.
It's just, bizarro. But anyway, sort of 2016 has seen the last one Barack Obama from our lives, you know.
There's still 19 days of January.
Well, he's got a few days left, sort of thing, but essentially it's the end of the first black president, who many thought would be assassinated and who many thought, you know, would not have it as easy as he thought. Now, his tenure started by him being given a peace award.
Yeah.
A Nobel Prize. When was that? That was a good few years ago now, wasn't it?
That was whilst he was still president-elect, I think. It was either just before his inauguration or he was shortly after 2008 or 2009.
He was given that award then as a sort of
precursor
on something, a precursor to what he was gonna do, which was supposedly, what was his mission statement to the people, was he was going to get the hell out of Afghanistan and Iraq, and he was going to shut Guantanamo down, and he was going to like end all this, you know, needless sort of spending on fucking killing people and get, you know, America back on his feet again, which, fun enough, is what Mr. Trump's promising is, you know, it's another, it's just like a bit of a Groundhog Day moment sort of going on. But his peace prize was awarded to him whilst the country was still at war, whilst he was, he got the prize whilst before being made president sort of thing, but he didn't actually get the award until he was president.
Yeah.
So in that time, he could have actually done something to justify that award by shutting down Guantanamo or pulling troops out of Afghanistan, which, as far as I can tell, they're still there, and to some extent they're still in Iraq.
I remember you found this nugget of information that the people on the Nobel Committee were actually quite inebriated when they made the decision.
Yeah. It was a joke that went wrong. they actually hadn't meant it in all seriousness, but a lot of people jumped on it as a way to sort of lift this guy's godlike status to a sort of, you know, half-official sort of level. And, you know, but how many fucking wars has that guy been involved in? I mean...
Seven.
Chill. Seven? And how many was Bush involved in? Three, was it? It was about three or four, wasn't it? So, now, Mr. Bush, we all knew, wasn't exactly the fucking the nicest guy that ever took, wore a suit and sort of pledged allegiance to the fucking flag. But Obama has actually shown to be worse.
Yeah, you see, Bush looked like a more warmonger, where Obama is a warmonger, but doesn't look like it. He's doing it with a smile. A clone in sheep clothing.
A pharaoh in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. A pharaoh in clothing.
Wasn't that just the funniest thing that ever read? And
a pharaoh in sheep's cloning.
So he's does that mean his real name on his bus ticket is Dolly?
Yeah. that's his code
Dolly
name.
Dolly the president.
He's not Renegade, it's Dolly.
Yeah. It's funny, there's do you know Victoria Cohen? She's got that sort of Colin. She's got that Corin sort of, and she's got that sort of brainy quiz on BBC4.
Yeah.
And they give one clue and you get 4 points if you can get it from that. Then you get another, and the points go down with the more clues you got. Well, a couple of weeks ago it was actually Renegade. And me and Fi got it right away, going, that's CIA codename Presidents. And it fucking was. It was like, wow. So we got that. Thank you, Freeman, for that one. Yeah. Thank you, Satan. Excuse me. Yeah, thank you, Satan.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yeah.
So, yes, we can, but did he?
Did he? Fuck.
Did.
He he served the warmonger in the shit to the hilt, I think. So prizes be taken back?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, they should be. But now, they had recently the last Peace Prize or prize gala. They've got people like Henry Kissinger.
I know.
So,
I know.
You know, let's maybe distance ourselves from things like this, these peace prizes, which only are there to serve a purpose, aren't they? They're not there to give the actual people that are actually doing things for peace. Let's just be thankful that the White Helmets didn't win the Peace Prize.
Yeah, god damn, yeah, that was a close one. Yeah, for sure.
And maybe the was it some Argentinian dude that got this year?
I couldn't tell you, but if we real quick, who won the piece? Because we know that who won the one for literature, don't we? Mr. Bob Dylan. Excuse us, folks, whilst we do a bit of Google searching, who won the piece?
And whilst I go for another wee.
And when it was Juan Miguel Santos. He looks like a nice guy, doesn't he? Oh my god. He doesn't look very. He looks like a fucking James Bond baddie. A bit too much Botox there, mate. But I don't know. Is he Argentinian? Juan Miguel Santos could well be. Who's been in these countries 50 years? Oh, who's been at war for 50 years? Oh, Colombia. Colombia, isn't it? The guerrilla Contras war has been raging for 50 years, and he's managed to end up. Oh. Good for him. Oops. Is that right? Hello. Are you there, Nick?
I am here.
Oh, you are.
I did say I was nipping off. I needed a little again.
All right. Okay. He was the Colombian guy who's ended the 50 years long civil war that's been raging over. With the Contras and all that, I believe, sort of thing. So,
what was that? My headphones fell out there.
Juan Miguel Santos has been fighting the sort of drug barons of Colombia.
Oh, right, okay. So,
it's been a civil war going on for 50 years, so they gave it to him. But again, he doesn't look like, what can you tell from a picture? But he doesn't look like somebody who is entirely honest himself. That's probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah.
What's he called?
Colombia. Juan Miguel Santos.
Juan
Miguel. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2016. I think type one to be nominated for Peace Prize. That's all we want.
That's all we want.
All we want.
Money, we want it.
No. Bychek has just made a joke that's because I think it's a sandwich, because in Scotland, a sandwich is known as a piece.
A piece and jam.
Piece and jam, yeah. Or a piece and egg, or a piece and bacon, a bacon piece, or, oh, a bean burrito. How appropriate, well, bean burritos, niblets, fucking hell, they're hot. They're very hot. So I think we can safely say that Juan Miguel, go on.
I'm just looking at a picture of him. Is that what you get when you win the Nobel Peace Prize? What is effectively a Blue Peter badge? he's got this little like dove lapel badge.
Yeah. Well, and John Noakes is going to jump up and say, "Here you go, here's your Blue Peter badge for being peaceful."
Yeah, well, it's better than getting the Jimmy Fix It, isn't it?
Better than a Jimmy Fix It badge, yeah. God, old Jimmy's kept himself in the news over 2016 as well, hasn't he?
He's the go-to paedophile.
He is the go-to sort of, yes, we can't have people like that, although he knew the Queen. Ooh. Did he know the Queen?
And the Prime Minister.
Prime Ministers. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Thatch.
So, just looking at this Santos dude, Harvard educated, one of Colombia's wealthiest families, used to be a defence minister.
Right. So, Another military guy win the Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Fucking how many contradictions can they make? I mean,
well, it's 1984. It's 1984, isn't it? Yeah, war is peace.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't give it to. I mean, this is what I stated at the beginning of the show, that we're actually having. When I say we, I'm talking about the alternative media is having some kind of effect in that. People are no longer trusting their news sources and they're going elsewhere, sort of thing. And now whether they can trust other news sources is debatable. You know, and I wouldn't advise for a moment to take what we say as genuine. You know, do your own research, do your own sort of digging.
Yeah. This is not a people. News show.
When
folks.
People like Juan Miguel Santos wins a Nobel Prize, when it could have gone to. A regime change organization, an NGO who are doing bad things, and it's been proven not just by the people who we, you know, promote, like Vanessa Bailey, you know, there's others who are finding out things and putting out, you know, sort of thing. So, you know,
but these people are giving the literally they're giving the ammunition to shoot their organization down and expose them.
Yeah.
They're exposing themselves by picturing themselves and videoing themselves at executions with guns, carting off bodies of recently executed people. So then posting those videos on social media. So it's not like it actually takes much investigating to expose these people. They're exposing themselves. It's just with the persistence of people like Vanessa looking into the stories.
Yeah, and that stories say a lot. Stay around a lot longer these days, and there is ways to check, you know, if things are actually real or not, sort of thing. So they are shooting themselves in the face, right? Yeah, they're taking that. talking about shooting people, shooting yourself in the foot, have you seen the revelations about Thatcher this week?
No.
She fucking refused to fill out the form for the poll tax for 10 Downing Street, saying that she was exempt from it. And the guy from Whitehall Council or whatever it is, whoever, I don't know if it's Westminster Council or not, that actually look after the place for 10 Downing Street. I think it's, what is it, Whitehall? It's known as... The leader of that sort of body saying, we haven't had a form for 10 Downing Street yet. Where the fuck is it? And she wrote back saying, well, I'm not, you know, I'm exempt from that sort of thing. And the guy went, actually, no, you're not. And so she actually broke her own law sort of thing, and she fucking covered it up because it's only just come out now in the sort of, is it the 30-year sort of...
30-year seal.
Would you call it? Yeah, the what do you call it? The disclosure of...
Freedom of Information.
What did you call it? Freedom of Information Act sort of thing, yeah. And yeah, it turns out she tried to not pay her own fucking hated tax, which ultimately was a downfall. So there was quite a few things about that, actually. I wonder if I've
right, so I give you two choices, Life on Mars or Under Pressure?
Under Pressure.
Okay.
Has that hour gone already?
The hour is gone.
Oh my God. So, well, don't forget, people who is listening, to refresh your browser.
After the tunage.
After Under Pressure. Yeah.
And we will return after this tune.
The one. One person that's listening, refresh your browser.
So slashed and torn.